Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience, on page 567, beginning with the terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening, and reading through this entire appendix. Today's readers are Chris M., The 12 Steps, Kathy C., The 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Colleen M. in the text, Abby D. on page 164, and Nancy R. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Tony B., and our second hour moderator is Eileen M., and Kathy S. has announcements. The share IDs for Tuesday, September 17th, 2024, are the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21,748, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21,749. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Chris M. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Chris M. from New York, recovering compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to participate. I pass.
Thank you, Chris. I will now ask Kathy C. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Rick. Good morning, family. Kathy, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New York. One, here are the traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in that. other groups or OA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share of what was read. Share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I'll give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience, on page 567, beginning with the terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening, and reading through this entire appendix. I will now ask Colleen M. to begin reading.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service. This is Colleen M., recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of a sudden and spectacular upheaval. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nonetheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feelings and outlook. Among our rapid growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomers are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own concept of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all argument, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. So, wow, that's a whole big mouthful of stuff to talk about in 3 minutes. But I think I wanted to kind of point out mostly the difference between this sudden and spectacular upheaval versus a slow transformation. And I believe in my life I've had both. I've had experiences which have been sudden and transforming. But for the most part, they certainly didn't take me very far. It's almost like, okay, God, what have you done for me lately? I needed that slow transforming, which has kept me recovered and abstinent, is the slow transformation. And that has basically happened because I have been open-minded to all spiritual things. When I first got back here from my last relapse, I was totally not open to the God idea. I had a God of my childhood. I had a God of my adulthood, and that God was inadequate. And I was done with the God thing. However, the food beat me into a state of reasonableness, and I had to come back and be willing and open to even, you know, am I willing to believe that there's a power greater than they? That wasn't very hard. But could I believe that God was all loving, all powerful, all knowing, and cared about me? That's kind of what it came down to for me. And, you know, a lot of times I don't feel this God. You know, I don't, and I want to feel everything. You know, I don't want to feel this presence constantly. And that's just not my reality. For me, I choose to believe that God is out there. I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. But what I have to do is daily turn my will and life over to this power. And that's the change. I wanted that power to turn its will and life over to me. And when I live like that, I didn't get very far at all. And today, my transformation is I am willing to live my life in a way that I believe my higher power would have me do. And I spend each day trying to connect to this higher power. Some days I feel more connected than others. And sometimes God speaks to me through other people in the rooms, and maybe not even in the rooms, just, people with God with skin on. But I continually to grow and change in it, I believe, becoming a more spiritual person. So I think with that, I'll pass. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Colleen. All right. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Miriam J.
Riska R.
Melissa C.
Joanne B.
Tony B.
Riska R. in Baltimore.
Amy F.
Okay, everybody hold up just a sec. So I think it was Miriam or Marion J. Let's see, Melissa, I got Melissa C, Joanne B, oh man, my writing is horrible this morning, Amy S. And there was somebody right in the very beginning that I missed. So of all the people who have already said your name once.
Tony B.
I got Tony B. And who is the R one?
Rivka R. in Baltimore.
Rivka. Okay, there we go.
And I was in the beginning as Nadia E.
What was your first name again?
It's Nadia.
Oh, how do you spell that, Nadia?
N-A-D-I-A.
Nadia B. Okay, we're going to hold up right there. Nadia B as in boy?
No, E as in echo.
I'm sorry. Okay. I think I have an echo in my ears. I'm not able to get all these names here. All right, here's who I have, and we're going to hold off on the first group, and we'll get some more later. I have Miriam J.
Would you tell us where you start? Where we just read from first, please?
Yes, we are on page 567, and we are reading Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience.
Oh.
So here's who I have. Miriam J., Melissa C., Joanne B., Tony B., Amy S., Rivka R., and Nadia E. If I got your name wrong, forgive me, but please remember to include where you're calling from when you give me your first name and first initials, we can find you. All right, Miriam J., you're up first, Melissa C., followed by Miriam. Go ahead, Miriam.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Miriam J., compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service. I hope everyone has a great day. I am so grateful for this appendix, Spiritual Experience, because I did not have the one in which Bill and several others in the book had, where one day I was one way and the next day I was totally convinced and changed by this concept of higher. I have been working 12-step programs for more than four decades, and the person I am today is because of a very gradual educational, experiential growth with my higher power. You know, today I'm far more conscious of this power in my life. I see this power at work all the time. But when I first came to OA, I believed in God, but I could not receive the power to abstain. I would give up the food for a little while, and then something would happen, either emotionally or socially, and then that went right out the window. It has taken me a very, very long time to understand that I have to surrender entirely my desires and my wants to this higher power. That has happened little by little. And I am just so very grateful to still be sitting in this seat, listening to the meetings and attending meetings and working this program, because today that spiritual experience has led to a life truly greater than I could have ever imagined. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion. Before you get off, could you please tell us where you're calling from?
I'm sorry, Massachusetts.
All right. Thank you, Miriam. All right, Melissa C., you're up next, followed by Joanne B. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I think this book does such a good job of enabling us, right, to find a power greater than ourselves, which will solve our problem. And here's like one of the greatest ways that it enabled me, you know, that it told me it's okay if this is an educational process for you. It's okay if it doesn't like strike you over the head and you suddenly feel a God consciousness. You know, it's because I had this idea, you know, I think like many of us, I want to feel a great effect first, and then I'll somehow do what is right, you know? And I remember feeling that, thinking, you know, I must be doing something wrong because I don't feel this overwhelming God consciousness and don't do that in order to get well. We don't need that. What you need is an open mind. And you need, there's a lot of background noise. I don't know if I'm being heard. Hopefully I am. What is a big problem is having contempt prior to investigation. And that has always been one of my stumbling blocks. I would think something, you know, contempt prior to investigation is somehow believing that something I've never even attempted, never even looked at, is beneath my consideration. You know, and the other thing I get here is it talks about a personality change. And when you hear personality, I don't know, for me, when I hear personality change, I think, my gosh, that's so like not very spiritual sounding. That sounds so like mundane, you know? What do you mean personality? And I also, you know, had this sort of experience thinking, there's nothing wrong with my personality. I'm just heavy. I'm just fat. I just eat too much. And I like my personality very much. Thank you. And that, you know what? I needed to be like pummeled over the head because, you know, the next really idea is, really, if you like your personality so much, why are you killing her with food? You know, why are you eating yourself to death? And this entire program is about change. It's about change, transformation, rebuilding ourselves. And the 12 steps gives me a set of directions. So long as I keep an open mind and a willingness to learn, it cannot fail me. And it hasn't. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. All right, Joanne B., you're up next, followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning, everybody. Joanne B., calling in from Vermont. Recovered compulsive overeater and binger. I loved hearing this reading this morning. I'm driving to work, so I can't read. But the words just kind of... they flooded into me this morning. I just loved hearing it. And, you know, I like my spiritual awakening has been gradual. And it's gradual to the point where it's every single day I have to work on it. It's not a given. You know, there's so many times where I just want to take control of things that are going on, and I start having negative thoughts about things that are difficult in my life, and I need to get reminded every single morning and of that there is a plan and that there is a power and I can plug into it, and so that's what I try and do every morning. And in terms of like my transformation is, you know, I don't binge anymore. And that's a miracle. And I have to look at that and remember that's evidence to me that there is a power greater than myself, because I wasn't able to do that myself. So even though I kind of take it for granted now, but I need to remind myself constantly of that fact. And I had an incredible sponsor who was able to show me by working with me how I did change, because it's hard to see that in myself. And I have family members, especially my husband, who also noticed the change in me, because I can't always see it myself. I don't always feel that power, but I know that if I keep looking for it, seeking it, that I will benefit from it. If I keep turning things over, like this morning, I have a lot going on at work. I'm a teacher and I have a lot of challenging students in different situations, and I'm starting to feel stressed over that. But like, I have to just calm down and believe that I'm doing God's work and I'm going to just do my best. And if I believe that God's there to help me today, that's all I need to know. So thanks, everybody, for letting me share, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Joanne B. from Vermont. Tony B., you're up next, followed by Amy S. Go ahead, Tony.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for your service. My name is Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. And it's such a joy to be with you all on this meeting and reading this Appendix 2. I haven't shared for a little while, and it's important for me too. I was reminded of it yesterday. It's part of being a part of. So I pressed star one this morning. And so I would say I've had spiritual experiences from a young child. I had a sort of moment where it felt like, when I was very little, when it felt like everything was kind of, I was part of everything. I was standing in the garden and it felt like everything kind of opened out. I think most of us do have a strong connection as little ones. And then as we grow up, our experiences and things kind of, thing that gets lost a little bit. And certainly in teenage, we kind of go outwards, and that's where my addiction started. We're kind of looking for things in the outside world. But as a little one, I had that. And I had another one just before getting into AA, where I woke up one morning with the absolute certainty that I had to stop drinking. And I hadn't thought of needing to stop drinking before that. I mean, as soon as I took myself to the doctor, he kind of said, how much are you drinking? And I was honest. That same morning I took myself to the doctor. That felt like a God moment. And I've had many, I would say, you know, but it's like, what do I do with them? Am I willing to, you know, do what's needed on the back of that? And initially I wasn't in AA. I thought I could do it a different way, an easier, softer way. And we're told here, you know, honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience. Any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience. And the light of their experience is that we need to you know, take certain steps. And that's the experience of the first 100. And I can't close my mind to spiritual concepts. I'll only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. But we do have to have this. We do have to be open to a spiritual way of life. No one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. So, you know, and that's in the same paragraph as that spirituality. We must have it, however we find it, whether it's, and it is slow.
And for reminder?
You know, it has been slow. I'll share the time with that. I could go on. It's such an exciting topic. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks so much, Tony B. from Scotland. All right, Amy S., you're up next, followed by Riff Gar. Go ahead, Amy.
Hi, this is Amy S., recovered for today by the grace of God. Coming out of a relapse on day 5 and the worst one I've had since coming into program, a 1 week relapse. And, you know, I've been in program 14 months and sorry if I'm nervous. I don't generally speak on the meeting, but I know that's part of what I need to do to work towards my recovery. And I love the paragraph that we just read, because I know that for me, my big hang up has been surrendering to a higher power. I've definitely had spiritual experiences in the past 14 months. My life has changed dramatically for the better, and I have a new conception of God, and I believe in Him and His ability to, you know, help me to be recovered, fully recovered one day, and I won't quit. I won't, no matter what happens, keep working towards that goal, and I'm so grateful for the fellowship and everything like that God has put in my life to get me to the place I'm at. I just wish I could do that complete surrender, no matter how much I feel like I pray and work towards it. I feel that's my big hang up, and I don't know. I'm just going to keep asking for the willingness because I have the willingness. I know I do. I want it so badly, and I'm really trying to take extra steps to build that spiritual foundation and that connection because I know that is key to more spiritual experiences and to ultimate recovery. Thank you, everyone, for your service and your shares. I love this meeting. I listen to you every day, and God bless everyone. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Amy. Yes, where are you calling from, please?
New Jersey.
All righty. Thank you, Amy. Rivka R., you're up next, followed by Nadia. Go ahead, Rivka.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Rivka, for your service and everybody in the line and all the shares. Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And I'm so glad you read this morning. I certainly needed a profound alteration in my reaction to life, and I certainly couldn't accomplish any transformation with self-discipline. I don't need to solve the mysteries of the universe. All I need to know is what others have said so simply, that this disease is much more powerful than me, and this power is much more powerful than the disease. And this power, which I choose to call God just for convenience reasons, is what makes me human, because God restores my power of choice, which is really restoring me to sanity. And sanity is a profound alteration in my reaction to life. You know, it wasn't sane the way I was eating. It wasn't sane to live in resentment. And this, you know, the power that of choice today is really, it's delightful. It's really always what makes me, you know, be able to be who I am. And the second step says, you know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. It doesn't say came to believe in a power greater than myself, just that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And once I acknowledge that power and surrender, I'm no longer agnostic because I have all the resolution of doubt I need that there is something much more powerful than my disease. I don't know why this popped into my head yesterday morning, but I started thinking about when Moses was at the burning bush and God tells him to go to Egypt and take the Jewish people out of this horrendous 210-year slavery and bring them to the promised land. And Moses is arguing with God, and he says, "What's your name? Who shall I say is sending me?" And God says something very cryptic. He says, I will be what I will be. Tell them I will be is sending you." Like, what? What's that about? And then I heard Priscilla say on the line, there's a difference between a belief and a relationship. And all of a sudden, it just clicked. Like, God wasn't saying, believe in me. God was saying, have a relationship with me. I'm with you. You're not alone. I'm here for you. Let me show you possibility. I will be what you need me to be. And this is a message for me today, over 3,000 years later, to be freed from the slavery of food addiction. When I surrender, when my power of choice is restored, to be able to choose truth and reality in life. And God says to me, I will be what you need me to be. I'm with you. You're not alone. And that connection is my protection today. And, it's amazing. So everyone have a wonderful, blessed day, and I pass.
Oh, perfect timing. Thank you so much, Rivka R. from Maryland. Nadia E., you're up next, and then we will get another list of names. Go ahead, Nadia.
Sorry, it took me a bit to get unmuted. Good morning, Rick. Good morning, family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto, Canada. And, this is my favorite. Just thinking about the spiritual awakening I've had for years since I came into program. It's just so exhilarating and just so peaceful when I just stop and say, okay, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm just, you know, it's just, I don't see a way out of this. And I just wait. And then all of a sudden, either I get an inspiration or I get a psychic shift and I just, any fears are lifted and I go about my business. I go like with my higher power. There is an amends that I need to make and I'm thinking, okay, like maybe I'll just, like this is the old me spirit coming out. It's like, nah, you know, I'll just, it's fine, it's okay. But it's not okay because it's still going to bug me and I'm going to have to do a step 10 turnaround, which I'm going to do anyway. I'm going to do my step 10 turnaround and I'm going to invite my higher power to come with me and make the amends in person, eye to eye. Oh my goodness, wow. Like that, and wanting, actually having a craving that I want to do this. Not a craving for food, but a craving to connect with another human being and to correct my wrongs. So that's the plan, and I'm going to, and I have faith. I have faith that things will be as God would have them be. So, yes, and that's my kitty cat in the background, and I will give you a good day, and that is it for now, and I pass. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you so much, Nadia E. from Toronto. We get started with our second group of names. We are in... Sorry, hold on just a minute, please. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience, on page 567, beginning with the terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening and reading through this entire appendix. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. Who else would like to share on what was read today?
Anita J.
Reba.
Jennifer C.
Loretta
okay.
H.
Okay. We've got Anita J., Jennifer C., Loretta H. Who else would like to share?
Reba P.
Oh, got Reba. Okay, I'll take one more name, and then we'll see if we have any room at the end.
Jackie A., Mr. Rick, from Connecticut.
Jackie.
H., Israel.
Got you, Jackie. Oh, wait, who was right after Jackie?
Ruben H.,
who was the
Israel. Deal?
I'm sorry, I kept
Ruben
talking
H.
right as you talk. One more time, please.
Ruben H., Israel, if this time.
Okay, Ruben. Thank you.
Could you share the page number, please? What is the page number?
Yes, we're on page 567. Spiritual experience, and we're reading that entire appendix. Okay, here's who I have for the second group of names. Anita J., Jennifer C., Loretta H., Reba P., Jackie A., and Ruben H. All right. Please remember to include where you're calling from as you introduce yourself. Anita J., you're up first, followed by Jennifer C. Go ahead, Anita.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. This is Anita J. I'm living in the recovery in Massachusetts. You know, there is a prayer that I sometimes say over and over. It's based on something in the book of Mark. It's, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And that was from the very beginning. I had the core beginning of a God. I knew he'd been there. I had that feeling once early in the program, way back, he was always there. I didn't know he was because I had an unrealistic childlike meaning of thinking of what a God should be like I should never, never, never have anything ever happen bad. To me, to my loved ones, my son shouldn't have been in an automobile accident when he was like 20 and somebody died in that accident. That shouldn't have happened. None of that. And that's what program did. It had me grow up. That's not the promise when he said that he'd help me. It was to accompany me. And that takes guts, going to a courtroom or going to a hospital bed or going wherever God sends you. That takes a lot of guts that I don't have. But he's got it, and he gives it to me. I just have to ask, though. He's too darn polite, this God, because he wants to know that I've tapped in again. You know, it's like I wake up and I've got to do it. I have, you know, this lovely icon that I made, which I have no artistic talent, but anyway, I have an icon. And I have a seashell, which often is meaningful for standing in the name of God. And this great big one that I found on the shores on the Cape, but it's the kind you usually see in Florida. That was a day when I was feeling, help me with my unbelief, help me. And I come across that. I know there's a God. I know it. And I really, you know, everything, the greatest thing it gave back to me. Because I too, like whoever said that, as a little kid, I know he was there. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. from Massachusetts. Jennifer C., you're up next, followed by Loretta H. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Rick, thanks so much for your service. Doing a great job. So Jennifer C. recovered, Greenville, South Carolina. Thought I'd never say recovered. All I wanted was to be able to say I was recovered. Recovered, recovered, recovered. It meant so much to me. And then I got recovered, and then I realized, wow, there is no destination to this thing, right? Like, it's a journey every step of the way. The journey is the destination, or however they say that. It really is true, because I don't arrive anywhere. There's no arrival. Okay, now I'm recovered. Now what? What do I do now? Well, you continue to take personal inventory. And when you're wrong, you promptly admit it. You continue to surrender your will and your life to the care of God. And you continue to trust God every minute of your life. Or you sink, right? And when you get out of that place of faith, you have very specific work that you do to get realigned with that place of faith, that position of faith, because this book tells me that I need to stay in a position of faith. My spiritual experience started with fighting my ass off to keep the food down, going to any lengths, making 16 phone calls in a day, if that's what it meant, hating every second of abstinence. But somehow, some way, I became willing to surrender my will around food. And I hated it, and I didn't want to be here, and I didn't want to be one of you, and I hated that I needed this way of life, and every part of me was kicking and screaming against it, and I started to tap out. I started to tap out and say, okay, God, I'm in. I conceded to having an alcoholic mind. It took me a long time to concede to that. I just had a thing with food, right? I wasn't insane, as step two tells me that I have to agree to. But then I began to see myself in an accurate way, exactly how this book taught me to see myself. I do the same things over and over and over again. And then I swear I'm never going to do it again. And I go right back to it. And so this spiritual experience for me has been such a process. All I know is that it's vital. And so God has everything I need, right? So if you're on the other side of having this spiritual experience, you keep hearing about it. I need to have this spiritual awakening, this psychic change, this spiritual experience. God has everything I need. So who do I need to ask? I need to ask God for this spiritual experience that's going to change my life, this personality change. I need to keep asking God. The willingness to pray is a spiritual experience. And so I'll just end with this, you know, the profound alteration sometimes is simply the difference between going to the food and doing a 10th step. Well, I still act crazy, right? I still lost it today. Yeah, but what did you do after you lost it? Did you turn to the food or did you turn to God and to this work? Well, I picked up the phone. Okay, then that's your spiritual experience today. And that's a miracle. So So let's not shortchange any of this process. Go to any lengths to get recovered. God's got everything you need today and more. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. Loretta H., you're up next, followed by Reba P. Go ahead, Loretta.
Hi, Rick. Good morning, all. Along with my precious God, you are saving my life and also recovered in North Carolina. And welcome, welcome to the newcomer. Please read this appendix. Okay, contempt prior to investigation. That's my old idea that was killing me. It says on 148, faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was the great, and for me it was food, it finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. And gift of desperation, and I came in, I am a real compulsive overeater, and I was a real agnostic, but beat into reasonableness, which was the disease. You know, at first it was just walking in the rooms, and I realized that was a spiritual experience. Then it was my sponsor. And today I do have what somebody just talked about, a relationship, a real relationship with a power greater than myself. And in the first edition, and this is the fourth edition, it actually talks, and step 12 has been changed because none of us, or most of us, have not had an awakening until we do the steps. And the first edition actually has step 12 of having had a spiritual experience. And that doesn't happen until you do the work, like the awakening. So they changed it because most people did not have the white light that Bill had. So today I have an awakening, but it takes a lot of work. Willingness is overrated. And it also today is a relationship more than, I love that girl that said about the belief. And with that, I pass. God bless everybody. And the newcomers, read this because it's a very important part of recovery to understand that most of us are of the educational variety. And with that, I pass.
Okay. Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Reba P., you're up next, followed by Jackie A. Go ahead, Reba.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. So the first thing that strikes me is that we're reading this as we're reading We Agnostics, which is step two. So the main object of this book is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. And here it describes what that's like, because I will have a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from, in my case, compulsive overeating, and that will manifest itself, you know, either in the awakening or the experience. But I have to remember, this doesn't happen for me, and I thought it was supposed to, in step two. This happens as a result of working the steps in entire abstinence. I don't get this necessarily in step two. So I don't, you know, I would want to have it first and then I'll do the work, but it's the opposite. I do the work and then this comes. I have to go on the experience of others and faith that it's going to happen for me too. And I also wanted to remind myself, I don't bring about this personality change. This happens to me as a result of working the steps. I can't make myself have this experience. And I'm so grateful that differentiates between experience and awakening, because I thought I had to be hit by a bolt of lightning. But every time I get a new awareness and I see things differently, that's my educational variety or whatever it is, however God wants to manifest to me in a particular time and place. And the other thing that struck me is this business of undergoing a profound alteration in my reaction to life. It doesn't tell me that my life changes. It doesn't tell me that my circumstances change. It tells me that my reaction, I change. And then the whole world around me changes, that whole business of the disease of perception. And I found that when I first came in, you know, I had the same job, the same this, the same that, and everything seemed different and way better. And the last thing that struck me was this contempt prior to investigation and keeping an open mind. And, you know, that place of I don't know, I don't know what to do, I don't know God's will, I don't know, that is a safe place to be held by God and to just let that be. That's the place where my mind needs to be open. And that's a good place. I don't have to know anymore. I don't have to figure out. I don't have to make things happen. Last thing, change is mentioned so many times. I did not come here to change. I came here to get the food in order and get out. But thank you, God, we just keep changing. As long as I keep doing the work, it doesn't end. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Reba P. from Toronto. Jackie A., you are up next, followed by Ruben H. Go ahead, Jackie.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rick. Thank you, everybody on the line, for sharing. I'm very grateful that today and through Friday I have off on vacation, so I'm looking forward to listening in live. I have had spiritual experiences and awakenings prior to coming to program, but I didn't have I didn't have the justification to myself, nor I felt like to others that they were valid, because I was still using. I was using alcohol and I was using food and food behaviors. So prior to program, I had felt these nasty, dirty rock bottoms of, like, you know, screaming at God on the shoreline. I went paddling in a hailstorm one time. Well, I didn't mean to go paddling in a hailstorm, to be honest with you. I went to go paddling in a beautiful sunset. And when I turned around, the sky was black and there was a hailstorm. So that's what happened. And when I came back towards the shore, this truck pulled away and I was livid at it. I just felt abandoned. I was like, how could you just watch somebody like almost die out in the water type of thing and just move away? And what I didn't realize was that God left a Marine colonel on the shore asking me if I was okay. And my neighbor to that was Mr. Scott, and he was a Coast Guard captain. So it's like I would get so mad at God because I would think that they were supposed to show up a certain way and they wouldn't. And so I have a joke with my Morse code with God is that even now in recovery, I constantly talk to Black Chevy Silverados. Like, they mean different things to me. They, like, show up in bushes and the end of corners. You know, there might be seven in a row, for God's sakes, because it's just, like, it's a reminder, like, I'm always here for you. So in program, I pray throughout the day. I heard people on the line, I appreciate that, like, talk about, like, different, like, you know, little objects that remind them to just stay present. So I have a coin from the fellow. I have pictures from fellows on this line. I've had memories, and it reminds me of, like, I'm not alone in talking about God, and I'm not alone in sometimes sharing the same God. Like, my God will talk through other people, and sometimes my God shows up in other people's lives, and it's hilarious. And they'll call me and be like, Jackie, I just had this weird moment. I felt like I needed to talk to you. And this program has brought that to me. And it's only through that clear channel. And these are the same people that I can call and I can say, I'm freaking out about my food right now. Or I'm freaking out about exercise bulimia or the lack of structure on my vacation I'm going to take. And I just know, like, okay, I'm reading right now. I have to hop on a vision for you because guess what? It's 7 o'clock and you're still home. Reaching out to my sponsor and saying, I'm available. Are you free to talk? Reaching out to my food accountability buddies and be like, can I check in with you today? So it feels my sponsee is the same. And that's something that, like, I couldn't have had unless God said, go do it. I want you to feel different. I want you to think different. And I want you to be different. And so, yeah, I want to pass with that. And I really appreciate it. And we're educationally wild. And that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Jackie A., and she is from Connecticut. Ruben, I'm sorry, we've kind of got down a little bit. You've got a minute if you'd still like to take that, or if you want to wait till the second hour.
No problem. I just want to say I'm grateful to be here, and what I encourage people to do is to look up what is the terms of spiritual. What is the term experience? What is the term awakening?
I just want to identify with the word on the second page, the second part, which is honestly. So, you know, my awakening and my experience in God has helped me. It's, you know, this is coming on the structure we just read in page 47, that a spiritual structure can be built. So I am getting a structure for my spirituality. Spiritual is related to soul. It's and however I want to define that. I think that's enough food for thought.
Reminder.
So I'm going to continue. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Reuben H. from Israel. All right. Thank you to everyone who shared. Fantastic meeting. Loved all the shares. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, September 18th, 2024, is 21,756. That's 21,756. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Abby D. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hello, good morning. This is Abby D., recovered in Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you shall surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.